The start signal. All right, it sounds like I'm live. Thank you very much for coming. Sounds like there's quite a ruckus on the other side. I don't have beach balls to throw around, but we'll make it up for great content on partner tools. My name is Adam Young. I'm responsible for product management as it relates to the Office 365 partner experience. That is all the tools and features and capabilities we give to you guys to help you manage your customers. You guys survive in Vegas so far? You're pacing yourself, okay? Sounds like there's a pretty good party tonight. It's interesting how you can go from day one, Bill Clinton talking about Ukraine and bacterial infections, to day two where you have Danica Patrick. So who knows what day three and day four are gonna hold for us. What's interesting, I was thinking back to our Worldwide Partner Conference, WPC, about a year ago in July. I was fairly new in the role, just a few months in, and had a really interesting meeting with a partner that really was a sobering conversation for me, at least. This was an SI who had a really strong traditional business with Microsoft. They did a lot of Exchange work, a lot of on-prem work, but they had embraced Office 365. They were really transforming their own partner business for the services model, changing how their field was structured, changing how their internal compensation was structured, changing and evolving into more of a managed service provider rather than just an SI who might come in on a more transactional basis. And I had known this SI, and I sat down with him. I thought it was going to be a nice, friendly meeting. We're at the Worldwide Partner Conference, and I said, hey, yeah, how's it going? And he said, our success is, we're a victim of our success. And I'm like, what does that mean? My first thought is, uh-oh, he's going to unleash on me. That's one of the things I love about our partners, by the way, is they just give it to you straight up. They don't sugarcoat it. They're very transparent, and they just tell you good or bad what they like about it. And that's what this conversation was about. So I said, well, what's going on? And he said, I'm doing everything I can for my business to adopt 365, to drive 365, to get new customers, to sell new customers. I'm doing everything I can, and I've got it. I'm accomplishing that. But once I've got all these customers, it's actually pretty hard for me to manage these customers, literally administering these customers, performing tasks on behalf of these customers. So while I'm being successful, I need you guys to do more and more and more in terms of providing me tools to help me manage my customers. And so I had heard this feedback a lot, but it was really powerful to hear just in front of a live partner. And that type of conversation continued on. And so what I want to talk to you about today is some of the investments that we've made in making it easier for partners to manage and administer their Office 365 customers. Really putting you guys at the center of the relationship with your customers, making sure that you have everything that you need to manage and administer your customers. I'm joined here on stage by Jeff James. Jeff runs a team within the Office 365 engineering organization. So we're going to tag team a bit. First and foremost, just a high-level overview of what we want to talk about here today.
That's all I get for
introduction. No introduction to Jeff. We're going to put him in his box. He's a little puppet. No.
So
no,
I, Jeff, think, I think what ties in exactly with what Adam was talking about is in June or July, I transitioned into a different responsibility in the engineering team. And one of the things that I took on was this partner administration work. So my general manager at the time said there was just, we'd had a lack of focus on it. We weren't really sure if we even tested it in the last release. There just hadn't been much engineering dedicated to working on the partner space. And so at the time that Adam and I actually went to WPC together and talked to these guys to figure out what actually the partners, how they used the product, how they didn't use the product, what they worked on. And so starting then, we kind of came back with a lot of those ideas and built them into product and have actually shipped some of that now. So that's how I fit into the mix.
Perfect. Okay, I think I gave you the high-level overview of what we wanted to accomplish in today's session. For the most part, we want to tell you about the tools available to you today, but we also want to give a nod to what we're thinking in terms of going forward and some of the additional investments we want to make to make your guys' life easier. A couple of quick themes that really help us focus on the investments that we make and some of the themes that partners have been telling us over the past year or so. So what we've heard from you. Number one, give me better visibility into the customers that I manage. So I think one analogy that a particular partner used is it's like a fog of war. Sometimes I don't know what's going on with my customers. I don't know if there's an incident that's impacting my customers. I don't know what the current state of their service environment is. So just help me have the tools have better and clear visibility into the customers that I manage. Number two, give me more flexible administration of my customers. So make it easy for me to find the customers I manage and then actually perform tasks on behalf of those customers. Number three, a little bit down the pipeline, make it easy for me to sell and to retain my customers. So even once I sell them on a subscription, let me know when they're coming up for renewal, for example, or help me have the ongoing relationship with that customer. So really thinking about the customer lifecycle from the beginning of funnel, from the initial sales phase, all the way through retention and renewal. And number four, just streamline the experience for me as it relates to the Office 365 admin portal. Make it easy for me to do things, make it easy for me to find things, streamline the experience. So as we talk about throughout the rest of the session, some of the tools available for you, this is somewhat of the lens that we use to help guide us in terms of the capabilities we want to deliver to you guys. Okay, what we wanted to do is spend some time talking about the Office 365 Partner Admin Center. This is a new set of capabilities that we just released about a month ago, and this is available to Office 365 partners within their Office 365 tenant environment. Just by a quick show of hands, how many of you are aware of the Partner Admin Center? Good, good, I see a bunch of hands, good. About half the room yes, about half the room no. So what we wanted to do is spend a good amount of time talking about the capabilities here, because this is really a foundation for you to manage and administer your customers. So we announced it in our Office 365 technology blog, as you see here. And partners are really enthusiastic about this, because we're pleased that we're delivering on some of the core capabilities and core requirements that they have delivered to us over the past year. Press liked it too. We got some nice press pickup along the way. Even though we feel good that there was good press pickup, and I'll say this again at the end, even though we feel really good about what we delivered, we're not ready to run a victory lap quite yet. We know there's a lot more work we want to do, but we feel good about this initial release. And this was the old experience, so out with the old, and I just want to have a quick moment of silence for the old partner features. So I don't know how many of you saw the previous set of partner features within your partner tenant environment in Office 365, but this is what it looked like, and the capabilities were streamlined, which is a nice way of saying they're fairly limited. You could only do a few different things. One is you could send out trial invitations to your customers. You could send out purchase offers to your customers, like buy the subscription for this amount of licenses. You could send out a delegated administration request. So as a partner, you could say, hey, customer, please allow me to administer your environment. And so those were really the core capabilities. But once again, even if you collected a bunch of customers and you wanted to manage those customers via delegated administration, we made it fairly difficult, meaning you had to search for that customer within the old experience by the exact domain name. So if you didn't remember if your customer was Alpine Ski House versus Alpine Ski Hut, you typed in the wrong thing, it would come back with a null result, and you get frustrated, and then that caused you just to write everything into a spreadsheet. So you look at your spreadsheet and then type it in exactly into the old partner feature set. So we're solving that, and you'll see what that looks like today.
And I think that's one of the key points. We were at one of the advisory boards, and there was a general question, what are the things that you really need as tools to help you do this? And I still remember the CEO of one of the partners who just kind of put his head down on the desk and said, I just want a list of my customers. I mean, how hard is that? I mean, we're in Vegas. It's kind of table stakes to get into it, right? Show me who the customers are that I'm supposed to have. So the ability to go in and search and find, it's a start. But what we used to have was just it made it really hard for people to understand where their customers were and find them. Actually got a lot of that as we went through some of this research. I just want something simple. Can you give me the basic capabilities to manage my customers?
Which is another good point in that our general premise is we know there's a lot of different partner types, from SIs to resellers to managed service providers. So we intentionally want to provide a flexible set of tools and you guys that apply them and use them in a manner that accommodates your business. And we'll learn as we go on. Once we get the Partner Admin Center in your guys' hand and we understand how you guys are using it, we'll just continue to make it better. That being said, I want to switch now to a demo of the actual Partner Admin Center experience so you guys can see what it actually looks like. And a couple of comments about this. So this is the new landing page of the Partner Admin Center. So how it works is, as a partner, you log into your Office 365 tenant environment, and what you see up here is a partner link on the upper navigation area. That's what's given to partners. If I can get my mouse to scoot on over. There we go. See, the partner link. I'll go into that in just a moment. But this is a very familiar experience. It's within your Office 365 tenant environment. And a couple things I'll note here. Within your partner organization, you have the flexibility to decide who within your organization has the right to administer your customers. So it's very important because partners always tell us they want to be able to control who has the rights to actually touch and manage their customers. And just a quick view of how that is actually done. If I go to users and groups on the left-hand side, you see a list of users within my partner organization. And in this example, I'm going to select Alex Darrow and making sure that I provision Alex with the right to be able to manage the customers that I have delegated admin privileges for. So I'm looking at Alex. If I go to Alex's settings, I say down at the bottom, do you want this user to have administration permissions to the companies that you support? So you can say yes or no. So if you want Alex to have the ability to manage your customers, you select yes. And there's two options for you. You can enable Alex to have full administration rights to the customers that you manage, or limited administration. Well, what's the difference? Full administration is equivalent to being a global admin. So Alex would be, in essence, a global admin for the customers that you manage. Whereas a limited admin is the equivalent of a password administrator. So they can do things like view the users, view service health, reset passwords, but aren't able to perform a lot of the configuration tasks. So that's just an important point I wanted to point out, that you have the ability to control who has access within your partner organization to the customers that you manage. All right, I'm going to pop back out and go to the main page. Okay, so I'm a partner. I've logged in. I have delegated administration privileges. I'm going to select partner, and this is going to take you to the landing page of the Partner Admin Center. One thing that I'll mention, I'm going to pass it over to Jeff to actually walk you through some of the experience. This is a list of customers that this partner has, a list of all the customers in which they have delegated admin privileges for. So you see here a list of 10 or 12. The important distinction I want to make is these are the customers that have delegated admin privileges. You may also be aware of a concept called partner of record. They're actually completely separate concepts. Partner of record, if you've heard that term, is at the subscription level, and that is where you as a partner associate yourself as a partner of record on that subscription, which enables you to be eligible for things like channel incentives, advisor fees, things like that. If you're only the partner of record, it actually doesn't give you any privileges to manage that customer, whereas delegated admin privileges do. So the reason why I point this out is going forward, being the delegated admin, having delegated admin privileges for customers is going to be very, very important to this experience. So if you're not already driving that motion with your customers, make sure you do that, because that's going to be increasingly important. That's the nature by which these customers get populated into this environment, separate from partner of record. So I want to be clear on that point. With that being said, I'll pass it over to Jeff now to walk you through some of the cool things you can do here.
Awesome. So Adam's spot on. We go out and when a partner loads up the admin console, what we do is we query to find all of the customers that they have delegated access for, and we populate this list. So right, number one thing that was requested is, hey, tell me who my customers are. And so instead of making you go find them or do some other permutations to get there, we came up with a way. We just wanted it to be on the main landing page. So the first thing you see is your list of customers. One of the things that we're looking at is how we can populate this with partner of record, right? So for the partner of record, you're actually getting paid for the incentives for working with that customer. Delegated access, you're kind of doing the work. That's the way we look at it as the segmentation. So it would be nice to actually tag those and see the differences. But for right now, it's purely the delegated access. And then as you go in and select one of those customers, we figured there was some information that you'd actually like to see about them, what some of the other capabilities are that you have with that customer. So we'll give you some real basic information about the customer. We pull their address and some of the phone number information, what subscriptions they have. So in the center of that panel on the right, what you'll see is the more subscriptions that the customer has, that expands out, gives you some information about what they've purchased and what they're using. And then some of the other feedback we heard is once I've actually gone to the effort of finding a customer in the previous experience, I had the option to go in and do administration, but it just took me into the center console, the admin center for that customer. And so what we wanted to do is provide a couple more cohesive links. So we have a way to go into the specific admin capabilities for that customer, segment it a little bit better, so that you can go into just the service that you're looking for that customer. What that'll do is actually drill in using your administration on behalf permissions, pull up that admin center, let you do all of the administration that you want to do for that customer. As we expand this to be across the Microsoft services as well, so as we get Intune and CRM and other capabilities from Microsoft within this admin experience, you'll start to see the links for their admin centers work here as well. So it's becoming really not just Office 365, but we're actually targeting it how we can make this the cloud partner administration center for Microsoft. So as we go into one of these, the other thing that I wanted to comment on is Service Health. We tried to look at what would be impactful and interesting on the landing page for partners. And Service Health is interesting across the board, but we thought there's instances where just a handful or a selection of your customers are having outages. And so we flag those. We don't tell you exactly what the issue is here, but we flag it in such a way that you can see the customers that are having any types of issues. You can click on that heading and sort them. Thank goodness we don't have any outages going on right now. We don't have any information. We didn't exactly want to stage it since we're using the production environment. But all of these different columns are sortable, so you can organize your customers however you want to see them. So then in the event that a customer, for instance, Coho Group, had a Service Health issue right now, there'd be a little icon here that you could click on. Alternatively, you can just go down to the Service Health option on the menu, and what it will do is pull up the Service Health for that individual customer. What we were looking at how we aggregate this information together, whether it makes sense to show information for one customer versus all customers and how that works out. We're actually looking at different ways to represent that. But in the meantime, what we wanted to do is just give you the ability so that we had something that we could provide. We wanted to give the ability to move between those customers and see if there was a difference in what was being displayed for their Service Health. You notice the name of the customer changes up here. So as I go down and select a different customer, you'll be able to search or move between them. One of the things that we want to do is we know as partners sell to more and more customers, it becomes a little bit harder to find those specific customers. So we've implemented this search technology called hit highlighting. So as you go in and search for customers, you can pull up ones that have that series of letters or numbers in their name. We'll go ahead and pull those up, and then you can select that. So an easier way to move between the different customers. Oh, seriously,
oh,
Adam?
Fail. All right, who made the demo gods angry? Sacrifice from the audience.
So then the other major feature, right? I talked about simplicity and how we get these things started. We didn't want to boil the ocean when we were working on the first version of the Admin Center, and so we really did three key features. First one was showing your customers, the second one was Service Health, and the third one is around service requests. So as we look at service requests, it's very similar to what we did with Service Health. We actually go into the, for each specific customer, we'll go out and find any service requests that are open. We'll pull those service requests in here, so as a partner, you can go in, see what the customer has asked Microsoft about, see the status of those service requests. You actually, because you have delegated access, you can act on those service requests. So if you look at the service request and say, I know the answer. I'm just going to call John and explain what's going on, then I'll close this SR. You actually have the capability to do that. As well, you can go in and select the plus sign and enter a service request on behalf of that customer. So we've actually made that all happen within the Partner Center, so it eases the flow of information. You don't have to go into that specific customer's tenant anymore to open a service request for them. So that's really version one of our revamped Partner Admin Center. Did I miss anything?
The last thing I was just going to mention is around some of the capabilities that we brought over from the prior experience.
Oh, good point.
Back here. But actually, while we're talking about service requests, I'll just give you one quick example. Oops, let me search by organization name on the other search field. All right, so if I actually go to Alpine Ski House, you can see for Alpine Ski House there is an active service request. And if I select that particular service request and open it on behalf of them, I can actually look at some of the notes associated with that service request in addition to looking at the details. And as Jeff mentioned, if I'm a partner, I may have picked up the phone and called that customer and solved that problem. I can go right into this experience and close that request on behalf of the customer and remove it from the queue. So once again, partners really wanted this ability because in a lot of respects, partners are already providing level one or level two support for their customers or even in fact monetizing that as a managed service provider. And so this just gives them better visibility and awareness of what's going on amongst our customers in terms of service requests. So I want to go ahead and close that.
And we really see that as kind of a three-way win, right? From Microsoft's perspective, we love the fact that our partners are helping get these things resolved quicker. From a customer perspective, you're getting a faster resolution. You're working with that partner, the person that knows you. The customer doesn't have to describe as much about their environment. And from a partner perspective, first off, you're getting, like Adam said, it could be part of that managed service that you provide, but it also adds more value as a partner. That customer, when it comes up for renewal, knows that you're helping them with that Office 365 environment, and so they're more likely to renew.
In the last section of the Partner Admin Center are some of the carryover capabilities that I described at the beginning. In this section called Build Your Business, you can do three things. You can create purchase offers that you want to package up and send your customers. You can create trial invitations, or you can create delegated administration offers as well. In this particular example, this is the experience in creating a purchase offer. So let's suppose you want to create a unique link that you want to send to a variety of customers. If they were to click on that link, it would actually take a customer into a purchase flow, and you'd be associated as a partner of record and perhaps be eligible for advisor fees or channel incentives on that. So, for example, you just select your location and what kind of SKU you want to put together in the purchase offer. And then down at the bottom, you can also at the same time include an authorization for delegated administration. So once again, like I mentioned earlier, it's very important that you encourage that motion of becoming a delegated administrator for your customers. And same thing with trial invitations. Similarly, you can select which plan you want to send out a unique link to, or the unique link for, to your customers, and also include an authorization for delegated administration. So these are some of the capabilities you guys are probably familiar with from the past, and we're carrying those over into this experience as well. Okay, so that's a quick run through of the Partner Admin Center. Let's go back here. A couple of quick notes. So we expect a lot of partners will be using the Partner Admin Center experience for management and administration. But there's also some information here, especially later on when we post the deck, if you have the appetite or within your organization, your big PowerShell users, to actually connect to your customers and manage your customers through PowerShell. So PowerShell will honor the delegated administration function for the customers that you have that privilege for. All right, so how do you get started? So if you do not already have access to the Partner Admin Center, basically, the requirements are you have to be an MPN member, so part of the Microsoft Partner Network. I'm assuming most or all of you are already part of MPN. Be part of a participating Microsoft Cloud program. So if you go to microsoftcloudpartner.com, it'll give you all the information on how to become a Microsoft Cloud partner. And then, of course, you have to have an Office 365 tenant for your partner organization. And once you clear those requirements, what will light up is that partner link that you saw within your Office 365 environment to get into the Partner Admin Center. Oh yeah, make sure you get delegated admin privileges. I think I've hit on that 3 or 4 times, which is very, very important. With that being said, moving topics, we want to talk a little bit about something that partners are also very interested in on behalf of their customers, and that's the ability to transition plans or SKU plans within Office 365. So once again, I'll pass it over to Jeff to walk you through what that experience looks like.
Thanks, Adam. Would you log on to your laptop?
Security.
So real quick, we looked at, if you guys have been working in the Office 365 environment, you know we have different families of plans, right? We have our small business plans, we have mid-sized plans, and then enterprise plans. And when we built these, we actually purposefully built them with some segmentation between those two areas, or between the three plans. Of course, after we released them and we started to get some interest in them, it became quite obvious that customers actually want to transition or they grow bigger than what the plans are. And so we had to come up with a method for how to make that a much more programmatic and simple way to move back and forth. And so we came up with this concept of switching plans. And over the past probably 3 or 4 months, we have continued to release more and more different ways to do this. So right now, you see some of the plans that have been available since August, and then we added some more in December. Just recently this week, we actually turned on a last set of moving from either the mid-size or the small plans or small business plans up to enterprise when you have some vanity domains. There were some challenges in doing that at the first point. So now that added another 35% of our customer base in those small business SKUs, so we have fairly decent coverage across the board on how you can move. So what we thought we would do is actually walk you through an example of how we do this. So the environment here, I'm a customer who set up. I bought the small business plan. It was great. I was using it for a while. I got all my users set up. I had my 10 people in here working away. But then I ended up at a spot where I had to buy it, or I acquired another 20 employees. And so I've gone in and I've looked at this. I have my 10 user licenses. Because it's small business, I have a cap at 25. So I am now stuck where I cannot provide service in this plan to all of my customers. And so what you'll see is over here on the side, there's an option to switch plans. And that shows up for any of our any of the subscriptions that have an option to switch. That's, like I said, it's small business and mid-size. But we also have the option within some of the families themselves. So if I want to move all of my users from Exchange only into the suite, I can transition within a plan as well. It automates the process of moving from one plan to another. And there's some advantages of this. So in this example that we're looking at, the customer has signed up for a 12-month plan. So they're paying for everything in that plan, all of those users. And so in a typical environment, what you would have to do is, if you really wanted to transition before this was available, you'd actually have to build a new subscription in the enterprise plans. You'd have to manually move all of your content. You're essentially setting up a whole new environment. And then you'd have to call support and tell them that, oh, I'm not using this subscription anymore, but I'm using one that costs more, so it would only make logical sense that you would discontinue my prior one. So we looked at that, and we looked at the customer use case and what seemed to make sense from a company perspective. And we built the process, so you can go in here, you can select the new plan, go through, and it has a large warning for you that talks about a lot of different things that'll happen. And really, the key point here is that we start doing this transition immediately. So we're going to, as the administrator of the site, whether it's the partner or the direct administrator yourself, we're actually going to lock you out for a few minutes because we're doing some moving back and forth. We're enabling a new plan. We're provisioning some new licenses. We're actually converting those for your users. The users can still access it. So if you're sending and receiving email, you're accessing SharePoint, all of that capability still works while you're going through this. But we just don't want the administrator in there because if you happen to change the setting on which license was assigned to which user while we were automating it, that would actually cause us problems. So we lock the administrators out. We don't allow you to make billing changes. There's a caveat in here about how it could take a couple weeks to validate some of the billing part, but it actually happens very quickly. In most cases, we're done in a couple of minutes. Sometimes it goes on for 45 minutes or so. There's actually an alert for any of these that last longer than an hour that people on my team get notified, and so they go figure out what's going on. And then really, I think one of the key points is the second to the last one, which is if you're going from small business up to enterprise or you're going from mid-size up to enterprise, as you're moving across these boundaries, you can't go back. So as we go upwards through the families, you're basically moving into that family for good. We haven't built the technology to switch you back to a lower level plan because we lose some capabilities when we do that, and it can't be an automated process at that point. As we look at a specific user who has some features in one plan and we want to automate, if we were going to automatically move them down to a lower capable plan, how do we decide which pieces to go away and which ones don't? So I go through all the list of warnings, I click next, and it actually goes me through some of the purchase options. Just so you guys are aware, one of my other responsibilities is the commerce team. So I have both the partner stuff and the commerce team. And I'm pretty excited because yesterday we just lit up promo codes, which show on the screen here as well. So, and then you guys can jump in. I mean, we have a fairly small crowd, so feel free. Yes.
Thank you.
So let me repeat the question, because I know they're recording this. So the issue was, as you move through the switch plans, it retains the old subscription and won't let you cancel that without calling. So let me actually ask you a question on that. Did you use the actual switch plans link itself? The one that I just showed on the screen? Okay. Okay, because I know if you do it manually, if you go in and say that you just want to purchase that other subscription, then you're exactly correct, which is what we were trying to avoid. Switch plans itself does the depends on when you were doing this. We actually had an issue in October or November where we weren't for in certain cases we wouldn't turn the old subscription off. There you go. Okay. So in general, yes. So the design in the system today, right? It's not. I'll be honest. It's one of the things that we're working on, and there's some guys smiling at me in the front row here. But in the design of the system today is, if you've made a commitment, you need to stay with that commitment. And so, in order to break that, you need to call support. Honestly, that's not the best solution for any of us. Our customers don't like it. The partners don't like it because you're not getting paid for the time on the phone to do that. And absolutely.
Yep.
No, I think that makes perfect sense. So the intention is to get out of that that treadmill. So the switch plant itself does deactivate the old subscription. So it may still show up in there, but you won't be getting billed for it, and it should purge off on the next invoice. So, okay. We did have an issue earlier on that I think it's been resolved. But the other thing I would say is I'll give you my contact information. If you are still having problems, I'd love to hear about it. So while we were talking about that, I just went through, because I'm changing payment types in here, it asked me to sign in again and validate that I'm the admin, so I did that. It then goes in and shows you the completed order. What actually happens in the background, there's a reason that we limit the number of licenses that we can switch. I believe it's at 300 right now. We're continuing to increase that. But we're actually doing this on the client side right now, so we didn't have to build a full state engine on the server. And so if you go into the status, you'll see what's going on right now, where we are on this one. The order's been placed. It's actually building out that new subscription. It'll reassign the licenses over, and then it should put that other subscription in the point to deprovision at that point. And so you do need to leave this window open while it goes through until it gets to the end of the list. Again, we have monitoring on our side, so if there are customers that get partway through but not all the way through, we will we'll actually flag those and go back in and see what happened. Question?
So one question is, so if a tenant, if they have P licenses, right, and they're moving over to a new one, I'm assuming the pause is because you're activating things like management and data service and a couple other functions that are considered.
Really, on either one, it's truly because we're building out that new subscription, waiting for it to be activated across all the services, and then we're physically reassigning the users to that. So you're taking your user who was on license for P, and we're actually, you'll have two subscriptions, we'll move those users to the new subscription. And so that's what's going on in the background here. Yes, and so we are going through and reprovisioning it in the back end. Yes, And that's it's exactly what you're seeing here. Honestly, we can probably go through it. This will be done in probably about 5 minutes, so we can come back to it after we go for another slide or two. But yeah, you're accurate, or you're spot on. That's exactly what we're doing. We're reprovisioning an E tenant or the E capabilities to that tenant, and then assigning users over. So there is it's not just tacking people into a new license. We're actually adding capability in the back end. That is a fantastic question. I don't think so, because they don't purchase through direct. So, and what we find is, what we found to date is most of our EA customers are the larger ones who will have the PowerShell abilities, and so you can do the same thing through PowerShell. We're essentially making it simpler. Let's go back to here. So that's switch plans. And that was our demo. And so then the last feature I'm going to talk about is something that we're actually in the process of lighting up. You won't see it if you go live into the portal today, but over the next week or two, we're exposing it to more and more people. In the old experience, if one of your customers went into the portal, they created a support ticket, and they wanted to actually call Microsoft directly. So you get partway through the support ticket creation, and there's a button in there that says call Microsoft. I don't know if any of you guys have seen that. The implementation is actually this. It's a chat window that has all 181 countries listed with the different. You have to click on a country, and then you figure out what the hours and phone numbers and how that works. We saw two issues that we didn't like about this. First off, the chat window was just not the most optimal UX. It wasn't easy to find. People couldn't understand whether you typed something in there and someone was going to respond to you, or whether you clicked on the links. But it was only Microsoft's contact information. And what we've heard from both customers and partners is they really want to call their partner if they have the ability to do that. So we did two things. We changed that interface. So what you see on the screen is what will be lighting up over the next week. The bottom bar is the, I have how you get there. Okay, so this would be the process. I'm in the admin center. I want to open a service request. I go to support and new service request, and then there's this option in there. It says call customer support. Honestly, there's kind of a little snarky message at the top. It says, well, if you really want to sit on the phone and wait for us, then you could get this for the number. So what we've done is we've replaced the VChat, or the instant messenger chat window, with this new interface. And there's a couple things that happen here. Across the bottom, we put the Microsoft contact information. So as opposed to making you figure out which or self-select the country, we'll look at where your tenant is based. And so if it's a U.S. tenant, you get the U.S. information by default. Where whatever you selected as the home region for that tenant is shown on the bottom for Microsoft. And then we have a drop-down box that has all 182 of those countries, so you can find a different one, for instance, if you're traveling or you just want a different contact. But on the top, we thought, there's probably a better way to do this, which is let's look at all the partners who have delegated access, and we'll actually list their contact information. So there was an alert we sent out to all partners about 6 weeks ago, and then we refreshed it again just a few weeks ago and said, we're going to be providing your support contact information. And as part of signing up as a partner, you've always had to fill out the field with a phone number and an email and a web address. I actually have a partner account, and that was one of the things we wanted to make sure people were aware of, because in mine it was just me and I didn't want people calling me. It was just a demo account. But so we put that out there. And then we thought there are actually situations where more than one partner has delegated access rights, so we had to account for that as well. I did this out of order. Sorry. So on this, on the partner information, we've actually shown that there's a drop-down box that's filled with the different partners that have delegated access. The end user can select between that, and the information changes depending upon what partner they've selected. And so then from the Microsoft perspective, sorry, I'm going the wrong way. One of the things that we wanted to provide is as you select those countries, this gray box on the right will fill out with more information. So we needed a format to convey. And when you get to some countries, like there's different international numbers, there's different times, there's different languages of support dependent upon the time. So we've really taken that chat interface, the kind of the confusing box, and rolled it into a simpler way to get to it, or to get that information. But at the same time, we've added the partner contact information in there as well. And then the last button here is just we've actually given a link to get to the community. So people can go out, they have a link directly into the community so they can look for solutions or self-help as well. And the last, I think that's it. So, all right.
All right. Thank you very much. There's a couple of additional partner tools that are coming up in sessions tomorrow and Thursday that I want to give a nod to point you guys to those sessions. And these are related to areas that you guys have been asking about for quite some time as well. One of them is the concept, actually, Jake and Ian on the front row, they're going to be hosting a couple of these sessions. So I'm not going to go deep in them here, but I wanted to give a sneak peek so you can go to their session and learn more. One is the concept of a service health API. A service health API that you as a partner can use to consume service health information about the customers in which you have delegated admin privileges for you to consume into your own systems, your own dashboards. So go to Ian's session on service communications to learn more about that. So that'll be coming up later on in the week on Thursday, I believe. In Jake's session around Office 365 change management, Jake will be talking about information related to how we move to more of a public roadmap of our Office 365 roadmap. As a partner, you guys have always wanted to know what's coming down in terms of new features and functionality so you can stay ahead of what your customers are asking about. So go to Jake's session on Office 365 change management to hear more about that. That's a big one as well. As well as some capabilities that are coming down that partners will be interested around, what's the notion of how you might be able to get some features before they're broadly released to the broader population of Office 365 customers. So that'll also be covered in Jake's session as well. So I just wanted to give a nod to those. Definitely go learn more about those, because as a partner, I think you want to know more about both of those capabilities. Okay. Now, there's one other area that I wanted to talk about. We just finished talking about some of the tools that are available to help you administer your customers within Office 365. I also wanted to talk about something that was just released by MPN, or the Microsoft Partner Network, that gives you better visibility into the business health that you have with Microsoft. So think about more business intelligence and reporting about the customers that you have a relationship, particularly in the context that you're the partner of record for these customers. How many have heard of the Microsoft Online Services Partner Dashboard? This just came out, I think, February 7th, and I want to make sure you're aware of some of these new capabilities. So there's a couple of things to keep in mind here. This is a dashboard that's primarily targeted at resellers as well as distributors, or disties. So if you are the partner of record on subscriptions, all that information will be sucked into the online services partner dashboard. So you can have clear visibility into the subscription status of the customers that you are managing. There was an old experience that MPN hosted that was frankly really hard to read. It was really hard to parse through the subscriptions, and the terminology that they used was quite archaic. And frankly, a lot of partners just threw up their hands and said, I don't really get it. And so a lot of that was solved with the new release of the online services partner dashboard, just to make it cleaner to understand what the subscriptions are that they're looking at and the customer state of those subscriptions. For resellers, clear visibility into the customers in which you are the partner of record on subscriptions. And there's also distributor view. I'm assuming there's no distributors in the audience, that you're primarily resellers or SIs. But there is a distributor view in which a distributor can see all the resellers nested underneath it. But what I wanted to do is just quickly flip over and show you what that experience looks like. All right, so this is the entry page. So if you go to partner.microsoft.com. Oh, let me flip
over.
Here we go. Let me swipe it over. Thank you. And if you were to go to partner.microsoft.com and go to membership and then select online services dashboard, you sign in with your NPN credentials and it takes you to this landing page here. And it's really organized, loosely mapped to the typical customer lifecycle. So think of the beginning of the sales funnel that a customer goes through, like selling to the customer, to steady state. So in other words, you sold them subscriptions, and at the end of the customer life cycle as well in terms of retention and renewal. So in the very top here, you see this first section is all around driving demand and selling. So it gives you a quick view of all the trial invitations you might have outstanding for your customers. For example, if I click on this trial tile, it'll take me to a quick view of how many trial offers I have outstanding, as well as the current status of those trial offers. So how many total I have outstanding? Only two right now. There's this concept of a hot trial. So a hot trial, the concept there is, it's classified as a hot trial if that particular customer has at least one of those seats assigned. So in other words, it's a signal that that customer is somewhat interested and they're actually taking an action on that trial. How many are expiring in 7 days? So if you see that two of those customers or their trial is expiring in a couple of days, you can step in and take action and try to close them, make sure they sign up for a paid subscription, as well as it being broken across services. The thing I forgot to mention is the online services dashboard is for our online services all up, including Office 365, CRM, and Intune. So those three services now are included in the online services partner dashboard. So you see it broken out here as well by those three services. So you see it as kind of a quick view on top, as well as an individual list of all the customers in which you're the partner of record, the status, the SKU, the seats assigned, and the start date and the expiry date. And if you want to export that to Excel and do some additional analysis or pivoting, you can do that as well by selecting export to Excel. So that's the trial area. Now flipping back, I'll go down to what they call managed customers. And I don't love that term managed customers because it implies you can actually administer your customers, which you can't. Really think of this section as like steady state. So your customers have purchased, they're in that period where they're actually using the subscription. So it's broken out by customers all up, and then individual tiles for Office 365, CRM online, and Windows Intune as well. So I'm just going to pick one of these as an example. Let's go to Office 365. Similarly, you'll see a quick view on top of some tiles, as well as a list of all the individual subscriptions in which you have Office 365 customers, and you are the partner of record for those customers. So how many total subscriptions? How many deployment opportunities? Well, what's a deployment opportunity? A deployment opportunity is a subscription in which they do not have all the licenses assigned. So a customer may have purchased 50 licenses. If they only have 40 of those seats assigned, it'll pop up as a deployment opportunity for you as a partner to reach out and making sure that they're fully assigned, so they're realizing the full value of that subscription. Once again, some quick hits on what's coming up for renewal within 30 days, so you can be proactive and help that customer renew if they're not set to auto-renew, for example. And how many new customers you have and how many are in grace. In grace meaning that they've actually gone past their expiry date of the subscription. That's a flag to you to say, ooh, this customer is about to churn out. I want to make sure they sign up again or don't lose service. I'm going to go back to the actual dashboard and go down to the final section, which is really about retention and renewal. Oh, I did forget to mention, there is a tile here for channel incentives. Selecting that will actually take you to a dashboard of all the channel incentives that are available to you in terms of how you're performing against advisor fees or other types of incentives. The API was specifically around service health. There is no API with this online services partner dashboard at this point. Okay, and retain and renew. This is where you have a view across the services as well. What's coming up for renewal, 30 days or 90 days, or what's in grace? Once again, so you can be more proactive in reaching out to these customers and making sure they renew with the service. As well, here's a really interesting view around partner of record. One piece of feedback we got from partners is sometimes you lose your status as partner of record for various reasons. They may have found another partner, or they just may have made a mistake and disassociated you as a partner of record. This will give you visibility to the extent that you've lost a partner of record status, how many times and how often that occurred in the last 30 days. So if nothing else, that will prompt you to engage with the customer to find out why you have lost that partner of record status and see if something that can be done by which you can be reassociated as a partner of record. Since obviously if you are afforded the right to get channel incentives or advisor fees, you want to maintain that status. Okay, so let me pop back into the dashboard view. So like I mentioned, this was just released a few weeks ago. So if you have not seen this view, definitely go take a look at it. We want to make sure, we want to see how it's being used by you guys, what's valuable, and maybe what's not valuable, and this will continue to be updated and improved over time. But I think this is addressing some of the big asks that you guys have had around making it easier to read, making it have clear visibility into just the status of the subscriptions associated with your customers. And responsive. That's a good thing, too. And by the way, there was, in all transparency, there was actually some data issues with the previous version of this that they actually spent a lot of time just on data governance, making sure the data that was being piped into this is reflective of reality. So you guys see what's here versus what you know to be true and making sure there's a synchronicity between the two as much as possible. Yeah, so there are some, so a couple of things. Right now they're trying to triage all those issues. So come talk to me afterwards. I can put you in direct contact with the team that's building this. There are, if it's related to EA, there are some known issues where, actually not a known issue, but if you have to fill out like an OSA agreement by which you're attached to the, as a partner of record on a VL agreement, there's a lot of things that can go wrong in terms of getting that submitted to the ROC, getting that process. So oftentimes when we hear a discrepancy and what a partner knows to be true versus what's in here, it's related to like a VL agreement. Okay, so that's the online services dashboard. I wanted to mention that. Let me flip back over here. All right, to learn more about this, once again, you can go to partner.microsoft.com and learn a lot more about the online services dashboard. And finally, I wanted to point you to some additional resources. I mentioned some of these sessions. On Thursday, there's two sessions on Thursday in particular I really want to encourage you to go to. One is Office 365 Change Management. The second one is Office 365 Service Communications. And these are areas in which they talk about the service all up, but as a partner, we'll give you information about how you can stay ahead of your customers, perhaps, in getting access to information and knowledge about new capabilities in the service, because I know that's a big deal to partners. The last one I also put on here is around Office 365, security, privacy, and compliance, because I know, as you guys engage with customers, one of the things that comes up a lot from a customer conversation is, what does Office 365 do to make sure the data integrity of my environment? What are they doing to making sure it's private and protected? This will help address all of those questions and give you great resources to have that conversation with customers. Okay, and finally, here are some things, if you weren't already aware of these, you should definitely check these out and bookmark these and be aware of these. One is the Office 365 technology blog. This is what we consider to be the single source of truth in terms of how we communicate new capabilities that are coming to the service. So as a partner, you want to make sure you go to the Office 365 technology blog and read about the new capabilities in Office 365. Number two, how many of you are familiar with the Office, the www.microsoftofficedemos.com site? This is a great tool where you as a partner can log in as a partner and actually provision a demo tenant and have it pre-populated with users and content, and you can use that as you're engaging with your customers, having a demo environment automatically provisioned for you. So check that out. That's a great resource for partners as well. So this is all contained within Office 365. The Experience Center is much more expansive, where they might bring in devices and have the... I actually don't know if the MEC is actually using some of the demo content here. I actually don't know the answer to that, but I can follow up. But I know we consider the demos that you provision at this area, this is what we consider to be the hero demo environment. We use it internally, and I know our field uses it, as well as our broad partner ecosystem as well. So we'll continue to invest in that experience. Drumbeat is a site that you can go to have access to a lot of sales readiness content, sales and a little bit of technical readiness content. More of the technical readiness content can be found on Ignite Online. So as a partner, if you want to become more familiar with Office 365 on the sales readiness side or the technical readiness side, go to these two resources. Fast Track is a great site to go to learn more about deployment resources and the deployment methodology that Fast Track is recommending. And I already talked about the online services partner dashboard. That's just a link to go there directly as well.
So the only other thing I would add is I've been just dying to click the button over here. We should switch back because the plans, the switch has happened. And to the earlier point, I actually want to go in and see where the licenses are and see, make sure they did the right thing. So honestly, I wanted to do it before we switched. Oh. Seriously?
Try again.
Well, maybe we'll do that after the session.
Maybe we'll come back to that one. Where's the support number for that?
I just worry that it was sitting there for so long waiting for me to click that. But
While this is spinning, let me just bookend, because that was actually the last slide I had was around the resources. But just to close it out, so we talked about the Partner Admin Center, the new Partner Admin Center. So if you're not familiar with that, definitely go use that. Like I mentioned at the beginning, we feel good about getting that in the hands of our partners, but we're not ready to run a victory lap. There's a lot more we want to do. If you notice in general what that experience was about, it was really about visibility and administration at the individual customer level. So you went customer by customer, you saw their service health, you saw their service incidents. Going forward, we're thinking about, is there value in having more aggregated views of some of this information? So we're taking a lot of feedback on, partners might want an aggregated view of service health across all the customers that I manage. Or an aggregated view of support incidents across all the customers that I manage. So we're thinking about what the next level of value is on some of that those capabilities and reporting to push into the Partner Admin Center.
And we look at other capabilities that are out there. So Message Center, the customers get notifications through Message Center. Would it make sense to bring those into the Partner Admin Center as well? There's some of the diagnostic capabilities for the tests that are run on that tenant. Does it make sense to expose that? So very interested in feedback about where the right places to dedicate resources. It seems like I think we've taken some great first steps. There's some good capabilities to be on, or above and beyond what it was before. And so now, as we direct more resources into making that more full featured, what are the types of things that we need from your perspectives, right? From the guys who actually do the work. So very interested in that feedback. We could either do that here, or we could do it afterwards. Feel free to come up. It is quite a large conversation. There's actually components of that I'm really interested in how we could pull that together. So I think that's there's program, there's technology, there's all of those things that come together. But I think to your point, providing the ability to either take our capabilities and bundle them with your applications, or have your applications bundled as part of our capabilities. Both of those are directions that we need to investigate a bit more. So.
And then, to that point, just get in contact with me. Come up afterwards, and I'll tell you how to contact me, and I'd love to have that conversation. We go deeper on some of the requirements and what you guys really need. It worked.
So now you notice it's the E tenant, right? Yeah, see, it should say... So down here at the bottom, you'll see that the small business has been canceled. So it should go through the natural dunning and expiration cycle.
Is there a plan to do switch plans that aren't coupled to direct subscription so you can't do it through DA? Or is there a tool available that can do that sort of migration? Because right now, it requires a DA downtime, especially with custom domain.
At this point, no. I don't have anything I can say about that, just because of the dependencies in the volume licensing system. So, unfortunately, it's something we'd love to help help bring some better technology there, but I just don't have that right now. Is there a question over here? Should be able to. Do you know the answer?
Yeah, so I actually went through this scenario because it came up amongst another partner. And what I found late last week is if you actually go to the direct link of the Partner Admin Center, then you can log in if you're provisioned with limited admin rights. You have global admin rights to the customers, but no admin rights on your own partner tenant environment. So that actually might be not be by the intended design, but you can actually get access to it. Oh, on behalf of the client. I see it, yeah.
I understand the issue that you have. And one of the things that we're looking at in terms of administration rights is fixing a couple of those issues as well. Part of our administration rights are actually based on some of the history and exchange. So there's some complexity there that we're working through. But then we also want to do more granular roles as well. So if I have a person that I would just want to administer exchange for the customer, I want to be able to segment that out. So as part of that investigation, I believe I know what's causing the issue that you're talking about. That's obviously not where you want to be. You don't want all of your techs to have global admin in your own tenant. So
there is a workaround
to that right now. I don't want to answer one way or another. I think there might be. I'll take your contact information and figure out for sure. I've heard the answers both ways, so I want to make sure I give you the right one. I'm sorry, you had a question? All right, awesome.
So just to iterate on that, that I think is important for us as well. I mean, we have 20 different consultants, and I don't want all 20 admin, acting as admin for a particular client. We have to
And we've looked at different ways to do granularity, and so there's granularity by service. So as a user, I can administer exchange only, and there's value in that. And then there's granularity by the customers, which I think is more what you're talking about. So I'm only in charge of these three customers. Don't let the other 17. Don't let me have access to the other 17. And so we're working through the right slicing on that. I would actually be interested if one's more important than others for the folks in the room. Is there something is it more important to be able to restrict the customer base that your admins have access to, or is it more important to restrict the service on all customers? Yeah, we've seen that more as a request of the customers that I don't want my partner to touch anything except SharePoint or anything except Exchange. But yeah, I think that. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, they don't have that kind of
Okay.
But I think both as well we're doing this exchange for the SharePoint part, and they have some deals with the exchange. Right now they give us the keys to everything.
Yeah.
They have the option to
probably Okay.
Right. Other questions? I think that takes us to the end of the session. Definitely we'll hang out for a couple more minutes if you want to come up and chat. Give you contact information if you want as well. Appreciate your feedback and continue to check in on the blog, because we're going to continue adding more capabilities on the Partner Admin Center over the next quarter or two and even beyond. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.